The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Welcome back to The Grillin' Guys. This is Barbecue Bob. I'm in here with Randy Joppy this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
We are high atop the skies of Greater Grand Rapids in the Select Bank Building on the fourth floor if you want to deliver some food. We haven't eaten yet.
Yep. Hey, Bob, when we left the last time, you made a comment. We were talking about our Super Bowl grilling, and you made a comment that you were going to put your brats on for about an hour and a half on the smoker.
About an hour and a half.
We got Rob Russell coming up here in a minute, and you'll hear Rob talk about an hour and a half. But what my question was for you is that how do you put a brat on for an hour and a half and not let it go dry?
Well, that's a good question. If you're like me,
use that home phone.
If you're like me, you're going to put it on a good one smoker.
Okay, and so it's at a lower temperature, and you're going to let it, because I'm just thinking that thing's going to turn out like a pencil, just dry and hard.
Well, you use a charcoal, you use a Kamado style cooker sometimes, so it would do that if you were just putting it over coals.
Or even on a gas grill, right?
Yeah, it could. Yeah, you wouldn't do it for an hour and a half. Low and slow. If you look at Elizabeth Carmel's website, who was just on the Grilling Babe of North America.
Right. Girlsatthegrill.com.
She does a lot of low and slow, and that's the key to good barbecue. So with a brat, especially a cheesy brat, you're going to have to cook that thing thoroughly. You can't get a high temperature on that skin, or it's just going to explode on you.
Right. It'll pop, and you'll lose all the juice, and then it'll dry out.
Okay. Yeah, and then you have a shrinky winky. It won't look good.
Right. So it never does. So you're not putting it on direct heat, but you're putting it on indirect heat when if people don't have a good one, so they can easily do that.
Yeah, if you're just using an old kettle grill,
right,
which is fine too, you have to save up for a good smoker.
Right.
So if you're just using an old kettle grill, then just partition it. Move your coals in half, put a steel plate or something down the center, get your coals on one half, put your meat on the other half, throw a little smoke on top, which is some dried out wood, not charcoal.
Right, like some cherry wood or apple or whatever you might have.
Just keep your temperature about 180 degrees for a couple hours or two and a quarter for an hour and a half. You'll be able to tell when it's done because the cheese will be coming out of the brat.
Right, but the advantage of doing it that way is the juice stays in the brat. You throw it on your grill at 350 and you're trying to cook it in 10 minutes, then you're going to end up with a dried out, popped open brat, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay,
and,
good.
And we've got Rob Russell on the live line right now. Rob, we're just talking brats for a minute, buddy.
Hey, I heard about that. I was hearing you. Yeah, you got that right. You don't want to bust those brats open. When that skin pops, it's toast.
I used that chuck wagon that you hooked me up with, and I used the Lone Star portion of it, the charcoal grill. And I had to cook brats and burgers for maybe 50, 60 parents last fall. So I did the same thing. I got some nice hot coals. I partitioned them on the Lone Star, dropped that coal bed, threw a little smoke on there, and I shut the lid for about an hour. I moved those brats. I kept them on the cold side, lifted those coals, and did all my burgers on the hot side. I had like 50 parents that were they were practically crying. Those brats were so good. They all stood around that grill like, how in the heck did you do this?
It's our favorite term, grill envy, baby. You created it right there.
Just using that awesome Lone Star, it's so good.
It is. You know, it's an expensive grill. I mean, I wish everybody could afford one because there's so much you can do with it.
But everybody can't afford one, Rob. They just have to.
Can.
Yeah, has to be a priority.
They got to choose.
Yeah, they're $2,400 for the Lone Star. And if you want a charcoal grill that will grill and smoke, that is kind of the beast. It's not the typical.
You know what they do with that? There's some guys here in Kansas City that love those Lone Stars so much. They have me custom make them and put that lid that folds down.
You have one on your deck.
6 inches. Yeah, they have me add 6 inches of that, and they do beer butt chickens. Well, they call them beer butt chickens here in the Midwest.
So do we.
But you get farther south, they call them drunken chickens. What do you guys call them?
Yeah, beer butt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get a little farther south down Oklahoma, Texas. They're drunken chickens. They don't even know what a beer butt chicken is.
Well, so that's because they can drink and drive.
Yeah. Well, one of the secrets to making a drunken chicken or a beer butt chicken, and a lot of guys don't know it. They think, oh, I'll just stick it on that beer can and, you know, that holder, and it's going to be a beer butt chicken. you got to plug the neck cavity, because if you don't, all the moisture out of the beer can, whether it's a concoction you put in there or whether it's actually beer, all that moisture just goes right up through that neck cavity and goes out. So if you don't plug that with like a potato or something,
apple,
you're not going to hold. Yeah, apple, something. I don't care what you plug it with. You can use a cork if you want to, but you got to plug that so it holds that moisture down in that cavity. That's what makes a real drunken chicken.
You know what? I've been a big fan of those for quite a while. I will rub those with Memphis, that Three Little Pigs Memphis rub, and I'll put apple in the neck or sometimes onion, and I'll use just a soup can, and I'll fill it with orange juice. I find the orange juice is even better sometimes than beer because it sweetens the chicken.
This is what you need to try. Try this. Try get that Memphis rub. If you really want to really bring that flavor on strong, get the Memphis rub. Take a little bit of grapeseed oil. And the reason I'm telling you grapeseed oil rather than olive oil is grapeseed oil has no flavor, zero, where olive oil has a hint of flavor and you can taste the difference. Grapeseed oil has no flavor, and it's got a lot higher flash point than olive oil. And it's easy. It's in your grocery store. I've been up there in Michigan. You guys have it there. You just got to look a little bit. And it's no more expensive than olive oil. But get you some grapeseed oil, probably two tablespoons. Get you maybe a cup of water and probably two tablespoons of that Memphis. Mix all that up and pour it in your just whatever can. I don't care if you're using a beer can or whatever. Pour it in that can, and that will really bring that flavor profile up there. You won't believe it. It's great.
Rob, are you seasoning the inside of the cavity of the chicken at all or not? Or is it just all the rub on the outside?
No, you got to get the seasoning on the inside, because if you get the rub on the outside, it's really nice if you can kind of lift that skin up a little bit, and you can do it without pulling the skin off, but lift that skin up and get that rub underneath the skin. That's what all the comp guys do. And when I say comp guys, I'm talking about competition barbecue guys. You think they just put the rub on the outside of the chicken. They don't. They will lift that skin up, and typically they'll use chicken thighs. That's pretty much widely accepted. But they'll lift that skin up, and they'll get that rub and that oil between the skin and the meat, and that way the flavor gets into the meat a lot better.
Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on 107.3. We're talking with Rob Russell, our favorite cowboy from Topeka, Kansas, and he is the official traveling chef guru, barbecue master, fun guy, just all-around good old cowboy that we hang out with all the time, whether we're in Kansas or in Michigan or, shoot, you and I have been everywhere together about now, but we want to talk now just a little bit about spare ribs, because it's just about that time of year. Well, actually, being Super Bowl weekend next weekend, I think there's going to be some ribs on the grill.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you can do spares, you can do babies, but I'm just a few tips about buying ribs. When you go out to buy ribs, it's really hard. I mean, when you get out to, like, some of the commercial wholesale grocery stores, and I'm going to say, like, Sam's Club, Costco, I know you guys probably got them, those ribs typically are thawed out when you buy them, but I'm pretty sure they buy them all frozen. But if you get a frozen rib that's been frozen too long, and you'll see it in some of the states where barbecue is not like a passion like it is in Kansas City, the ribs will be frozen too long, and you can't fix that flavor. Remember we did that event up there?
That's what I was thinking of in Traverse City.
Traverse City, yeah. And he brought those ribs from one of the grocery stores, and they were just nasty. So,
well, they were pretty good when we got done with them, but you're right. We didn't get them to perfection. There was burn marks. There was freezer burn on some of them.
Yeah. So make sure you get a nice, fresh rib, whether it be spares or babies. Now, keep in mind, when you buy your spares, you're going to pay less per pound, but you got quite a bit of fat on them. You got that brisket in there that's, that's where you get your rib tips from, the brisket end of a spare rib. You're going to take a spare rib and cut it down and turn it into a St. Louis-style rib. That's fine to do. Some people like rib tips better than the ribs themselves. But get you a fairly decent fresh rib. Ask your butcher, has it been frozen before? How long has it been frozen? There's always dates on the boxes, but there's never dates on the packages. So just got to make sure you get a good spare rib. And one of the quick ways to do a good rib, this is proven over and over again, take it, take the membrane off of it. It usually takes a paper towel and a fork. There's a membrane on the back of every spare rib or baby back. And just rub it down with some mustard, yellow mustard. You'll never taste mustard or see it. And then rub it, and then sprinkle some, whatever rub you got. I like the Three Little Pigs stuff, but both sides, and sprinkle it down with the rub. And then the key is you got to get them done. When you pick them up with tongs, they got to almost break.
Yeah, we don't wear thongs when we grill here like you guys do in Kansas.
At least not this time of year. Yeah.
That's right. That's a bad picture in my mind.
So that this is a quote from Rob Russell, got a member of the membrane. Hey, dude, we got to take off. It's time for a break here, but good talking to you, and I'm sure we'll be talking next week. We've got a lot of stuff coming up that we need to coordinate. So thanks a lot, Rob Russell.
All right, guys. See you later.
All right, buddy. So coming up next, we're gonna shoot up to Sparta, and we're going to talk to a fellow by the name of Dan Humphrey, who started a microbrewery up there about a year ago.
Another Michigan business success story, man. We love these kind of things.
I stumbled on the place. I've heard about it, but, you know, a lot of these microbrewers, they've got so much money wrapped up into all their equipment. They don't, you know, they don't buy time on CBS every weekend for an hour.
Right.
So you got to do a little bit of a prowling with your growler. You know, you got to get your mug out, and you got to go kind of doing the pub crawl.
Well, and the best thing we can do is we talk to a lot of our friends that'll turn us on to places like this that they know we have an interest in it, and they do too. And you get together either online or wherever you go to chat with your buddies, and you say, hey, where have you been? Where's there a craft brewer somewhere that you really like the stuff that the guy's putting out? And that's how we found Dan at the Michigan Beer Cellar.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking to him next. And we have, after that, we're going to get just a little bit more into the Super Bowl. We want to talk about a cookbook I've been really into lately. And, that's going to be our show for the day. So we're going to take a little break now. And this is the Grillin' Guys every Saturday on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.